Hour number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, the podcast is uploaded just moments after the show goes off the air every single day. As always, the Periscope right now is live on our Facebook and Twitter accounts, and the Fan Run Radio app is available free to download in the App Store right now. And go check out fanrunradio.com. It's a great place to stay in touch with all things Tennessee. Plus, you can stay in touch with the shows. You got great links there for the station. There's so much more there. So go check out both of those sources. You got fanrunradio.com and the Fan Run app. All right, guys. Hour number one was... it was all over the place. We really didn't even hit like a main sports story necessarily. We kind of just lumped a bunch together to talk about the coronavirus as that kind of weaved its way into a bunch of the different conversations throughout the hour and kind of how that was affecting the larger picture when it comes to bringing sports back. We also figured out a little bit of a movie pitch along the way, which, you know, that was nice, and a couple of other things. So in case you missed any of that, in case you missed any of hour number one of the podcast, should be uploaded here right after the show. Brandon, I got a little bit of trivia for you to start off hour number two.
Let's go.
All right, I got to find it real quick.
No. I thought you were ready. I thought you were ready to shoot. All right. The anticipation's building. What kind of trivia? Are we talking like sports?
Yes.
Okay.
It is it's sports trivia. It is Tennessee trivia. All right, here we go. Brandon, four of the top 10 scorers in SEC history wore the orange and white. This is coming from the Tennessee basketball Twitter account. Can you name the four? And bonus points if you can name where they are. But that's not the main part of it.
Top four scorers in...
So, no. Four of the top 10 scorers in SEC history played for Tennessee. Can you name all four?
All right. Number one is Bernard King. Or not number one, but Bernard King's on the list.
No.
He's not on the list?
He is not on the list.
Bernard King is not on the list?
Swing and a miss.
Oh, my God. Allen Houston.
Yes.
Okay.
He is number two. All time.
You really threw me for a curveball there with Bernard King not being on the list.
I knew that you were probably going to go there because anybody who doesn't know this off the top of their head perfectly would likely guess, you know, Bernard King.
Okay. Bernard
King. All right, so you got Allen Houston so far. You're one for two.
Dale Ellis.
Incorrect.
Oh, my goodness. What, I get three strikes?
Yeah.
All right, down to two. All right. Allen Houston.
Uh-huh.
Can I get a year they played?
Okay. Two of them were before our time. And one of them...
Before our time as in, like, before I was born or before I started paying attention and watching?
I believe before you were born.
Okay.
Let me just check on this one.
All right.
And then one of them we definitely saw play.
Okay. Chris Lofton.
That is correct.
All right.
He comes in at number 10.
Okay.
All right. So.
Allen Houston. Chris Lofton.
Okay, yeah. One of them played at Tennessee from 1983 to 1987.
Tony White.
Correct. That was that one. And then you got one more.
All right.
Not going to give you the years on this one. That one gave it away immediately.
One more.
Yes. One this is for all the marbles.
More.
This, yeah, you are essentially David Freeze in this situation. Oh, here we go, full circle. Bottom of the ninth, two strikes, two outs. You got a man on right now. All you got to do is hit it in the outfield.
Let's see
all
if
you
I can
do
crush your dreams, Rick. So I can crush your hopes and dreams. All right. Tony White, Chris Lofton, Allen Houston. It's not Bernard King, and it's not Dale Ellis. I don't know.
Yimmy Macanjula.
Oh, my God. No, it's not Yimmy Macanjula.
Yalen Johnson. Come on. You got this.
All right.
Think icons.
Icons?
Yeah. I mean,
I named two.
Well, they're not on the list.
What bigger icons can you get than?
Come on. I mean, you are so close.
And
I
it's know, old school.
I know the There's Bernard. Only... I know the Bernard King. Like, I know that was a, you know, that was a real downer. He wasn't on it. But you got to think, still iconic.
There's only one.
I mean, there's a name I want to say, but I'm afraid.
I think it is, but I think you just got to do it.
Ernie Grunfeld.
Correct.
What?
There you go.
Ernie Grunfeld's
Ernie
on the
Grunfeld,
list, and Bernard King is
name.
Not.
He drives the run in.
He is. Oh. Drives the run in, but, you know, definitely close the eyes when you swing there.
Yeah.
You just made
Big
contact.
Time.
Okay, so there you go. Four out of the top 10 scorers in SEC history wore the orange and white. Number two is Allen Houston. Number five is Ernie Grunfeld.
How is Bernard King not
Ernie
on the
Grunfeld,
list?
Ernie Grunfeld is your fifth leading scorer in SEC history. Tony White comes in at six. Ernie Grunfeld is above Tony White by 30 points. And then Lofton is at 10. Other SEC program has more than a single player on the list.
Maybe.
Holy smokes.
Maybe Bernard King didn't play. Did Bernard King play all four? Like... Did he play the whole time? Did he leave early? That might have had something to do with it.
Well, let me look up how close he was, because I'm sure Basketball Reference has his total points scored in his career. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I was shocked. I was very confident with that one.
All right, so it says here, finished his career ranking second all-time in UT history with 1,962 career points, and Lofton is at the 10 spot with 2,131. So, I mean, what is that like? I mean, I guess just a little under 200. Chris Lofton has got... Bernard King edged out by a little over 200, something like that.
A little over 200 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm surprised because the Grunfeld and. Okay. Yeah. So Bernard King did go early. Bernard King was at Tennessee from 74 to 77. And Ernie Grunfeld was there from 73 to 77. So, I guess that makes sense. He had, I guess, really only 2 years, because I don't think freshmen played at that time. Maybe they did. I can't remember. Maybe I'm thinking football. But he only had 3 years, as Ernie Grunfeld had four.
He's also tied with Ron Whidbey and Reggie Johnson for the most field goals scored in a game. But the most points scored in a game goes to Tony White, 51. Most field goals attempted, Ron Whidbey. Guess how many field goals he attempted. What's the record?
38.
Close.
Higher or lower? Higher.
41.
40. 39.
39.
Ah, God. So close.
That'd make Carmelo Anthony jealous.
Well, who was number one on that list, Rick?
You know what? I am not entirely sure. That just came from a tweet that I'd seen from the official UT account. They had just said basically exactly what I read out. So they just listed those four.
They weren't going to hype up someone from another school. Gotcha.
Yeah, I found an interesting article real quick. Not that this is relevant news. I guess more timely news. I think it's still interesting to talk about, though, but you got to give me a couple minutes because It's one of those subscription articles. It's not, I got to sign in to the, you know, this whole process of figuring out the sign in. You know, what a disaster. How are you going to put news behind paywalls nowadays? Who does that?
Putting news behind paywalls? I mean,
like, we run into this problem all the time. And it's not, you know, it's websites all over the place. Like, if you, you know, if you want to look up a story about a Mississippi State running back, right, you go to some, you know, you go to whatever Mississippi State Starkville internet website it is. You always run out of these free articles. How are you going to make the news paid subscription content?
Well, Rick,
it's the news.
It's a dying industry, and they have to make money somehow, right?
Yeah, they certainly do.
It's their business model. It's just what they do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, while I'm about to pull up this article here, but I did see one other thing. Did you see what former UT coach was on campus over the weekend?
I think I did.
No.
The chief?
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Yes.
If that's who it was.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep, Derek Ansley posted on, what day was this? This was yesterday morning at 9 o'clock a.m. Posted this. It was an honor to spend time and pick the brain of Coach John Chavis, one of college football's most respected coordinators and Vol legend. We're grateful for him sharing some of the wisdom with our staff. Hashtag VFL. Hashtag learn and grow. Hashtag pick six.
Old John Chavis back. I don't know. I'd say Fulmer brings a lot of those guys back. Having Fulmer as AD, I mean, those are his friends, right? And is Chavis, is he currently employed anywhere? Is he working anywhere?
That's what I was trying to look up.
I know he's at Arkansas.
I don't think
recently.
So. Yeah, most recently, yeah. I don't think so. I think he has property here, too, still.
Maybe, let's see. Yeah, Arkansas was his last gig, and whenever Chad Morris got the axe, Sam Pittman did not retain.
Brandon, I found the article that I was trying to find, and it is way better than I originally thought. It is way better. I think that we could actually take a break here and come back on the other side and talk about this article. I was going to mention it now, but this is ESPN put out an article a couple days ago that is titled Ranking College Basketball's Top 50 Individual Seasons of the One and Done Era. So it's basically taking your best players in college basketball from the One and Done Era. I mean, I don't know how much that dates back to. Looks like the earliest here I'm seeing is about 2007. 2007, 2008. Yeah, that's the earliest it shows here. So you got the top 50 players of college basketball of about the last 10, 15 years or so. Is there a Tennessee player on the list? If you had to guess right now, yes or no?
One and done?
Just of the one and done era.
One and done era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we got one vote for yes, Logan.
I'm going to go no.
Okay, hey, find out on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Got some big news for later in the show, towards the end of the show. We'll do it during If You Haven't Heard. We got some big news later.
We do?
Yep.
Oh, great.
Yep. Just now decided that. But actually, it's because something just came across my timeline, and that's why I saw it. So that's what sparked it. But before the break, I told you guys that I found an article here about the one-and-done era of college basketball, which it looks like here, according to this article, started roughly in 2007. That dates back to, that's actually what they say here. It truly began with the 2007 season. So they listed their top 50 players. And I think going through the top 10, top 15 is really interesting. There also is the question, is there a Tennessee player on this list? Now, this could either be a very short answer or a little bit of a longer answer. Would you rather start out with the top 10 and then build up to Tennessee? Or would you rather know right now if there's a Vol on the list?
Tell me right now.
There is.
Here comes the knot.
There is.
No.
There is a Vol on the list. Would you like to guess who it is and approximately where he is, if you had to just take a wild guess?
Chris Lofton.
And these are their these are basically their best seasons, right? So, you know, for instance, it has John Wall 2010, right? So they're basically their best season. You said Chris Lofton?
Mm-hmm.
You did as well?
Same, yeah.
Both incorrect.
I mean, I was...
All right.
Oh. And this is top what? How many?
Top 50 in the SEC. Actually, not the SEC. Just top 50 in college basketball. Yeah.
Really? In the one-and-done era?
Uh-huh. I mean, fellas. Who is our guy? Who is our spotlight guy? Our conference guy?
Grant Williams?
How did I forget about Grant? I know. Come on.
About Grant Williams?
Grant Williams, he won it back-to-back. Ladies, Jordan 96 and 97.
How did I forget about Grant Williams?
So Grant Williams is your representative with his 2019 season. So, you know, certainly an improvement over the 2018, I guess. Where do you think he is?
Between 35 and 45.
You pretty much nailed it. 45. So Grant Williams is the 45th best player in college football. Well, I guess had the 45th best individual season of the last 13 years. Which, hey, not bad. Especially considering the guy was a back-to-back SEC player of the year. Would you maybe expect a little bit higher of a ranking? I got to admit, there's a ton of great names. I mean, he is surrounded by James Harden above him and Jahlil Okafor beneath him. So that's some pretty good company right there.
Who? Give me the top 15.
Okay,
if you
the top 15. 15 is DeJuan Blair.
Okay.
From Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
Going up one is Brandon Clark from Gonzaga. His 2019 season. Blair was the 2009. Number 13, John Wall's 2010 season with Kentucky. Number 12, how about this guy? Dougie McBuckets from 2014.
Oh my God.
Creighton. Doug McDermott. Dougie Buckets.
I never cared for him.
Yeah, I feel like that's a bit high.
I never cared for them.
They said that McDermott converted 45% of his threes and 57% of his twos.
You know who better be on this list?
Who?
You know who better be on this list? Who? Jimmer Fredette.
The other white guy who could shoot really well? The one that you immediately think of whenever you hear Doug McDermott or vice versa? Yeah, you're 100% right. Number 11, Blake Griffin.
Okay.
2009 OU. I remember Blake Griffin was the cover athlete for, I believe, what might have been
2K9.
The last.
2K9, yes, he was.
College
basketball.
It was like
2K9 or 2K10.
Uh-huh. I remember that game so vividly.
How does Oklahoma get these? Like, I feel like Oklahoma's never, like, they're always kind of there. But every now and then they'll get like
they
one,
have two.
Great, yeah, Buddy.
No,
Hield.
They have three
Buddy
in
Hield.
The top 11.
Buddy Hield is probably on there,
and
very recent.
Not as good as Luka Doncic.
Trae Young, yeah.
Yes.
So how do they get? How do they get these? How do they
great
get these
question, man.
Transcendent players?
I have no idea. And Buddy Hield is crazy because I feel like, I mean, his they're listening here. It's 2016 season. But I feel like they're, and maybe I wasn't as tuned if I'm wrong here, but I feel like he was more of a breakout star, and everyone just, I mean, I know that's kind of college basketball in a sense.
Yeah, because I think he was like a three-star or something. I don't think he was highly rated, was he?
I don't remember if he was, but something tells me that he wasn't. But
I think you're right. I think he just kind of broke out.
I feel like he was just a star out of nowhere and ended up having a top 10, you know, season overall.
Where's he at on the ranking?
He is at seven.
Seven.
So if you go back a little bit, so you had Blake Griffin at 11. Coming in at number 10, Brandon, Jimmer Fredette.
Hey.
Jimmer range.
Hey.
the sole inventor of Gym Arrange.
What's he doing now?
Says here, well, he was playing in the Chinese basketball league.
Oh, my God. I hope he doesn't have COVID.
A little while ago at some point. I have no idea, though. Says here that he drained 124 three-pointers, which still ranks in the top 65 all-time as a season mark, yet tries from behind the arc accounted for just 41% of his shots.
Oh, he's playing in, I guess last season he played for the Suns briefly.
Really?
He sounds like a 10-day guy.
And he played for, bear with me on this one.
Okay.
Panathinaikos?
All right.
Panathinaikos?
Say with confidence.
Panathinaikos.
Okay, perfect.
And they won the Greek League Championship last year. Yeah, 2020.
Wow. Good for you, Jimmy Buckets.
I bet he holds all kinds of Grecian records.
Grecian.
Isn't that just Greek?
Jimmy the Greek.
That's a fair point. Wouldn't it just be Greek? Or is Grecian is that
I think
a real
it's a thing?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I'm the, I feel like
they
I'm
call
the
people from Greece.
Coming in at number 9, you have Trae Young, 2018 season.
Okay,
fair enough. Number 8, Ty Lawson, 2009 North Carolina. Number 7, Buddy Hield, 2016 OU. Number 6, Kemba Walker. Who can forget?
That's
his legendary run in 2011 from the conference championship or from the conference tournament over to the March Madness tournament. What a guy. Number 5 is Frank Kaminsky.
Frank Kaminsky. What
Frank
a guy.
The Tank.
What a guy.
That is a guy who I feel like also never really translated, never really found his groove in the NBA.
He's
where is he with Charlotte?
Charlotte, I think.
He's a folk hero of mine.
He's a folk hero of yours.
I don't know why I said folk hero.
Please
but he's
go
a,
on.
He's
Please elaborate on that.
He'll always hold a special place in my heart. Him and that Wisconsin team stopped Kentucky from going undefeated and winning the national championship.
That's true.
That is true.
It was a Final Four game that they played in, but
who was on that Kentucky team? That was 15?
That would
There's
have
probably
been
a bunch of guys on this list. Huh?
That would have been, I don't know. That team was loaded.
Karl Anthony Towns,
and was Devin Booker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the only guys on that list. But then, so top 4, real quick. You have Kevin Durant. So Rick Barnes finds a guy, 2007 Texas Longhorns. Number 3, Anthony Davis, Kentucky in 12. Number 2, Steph Curry, Davidson, 2008. And then number 1, he's the name we haven't mentioned yet, Brandon. Very recent name. Kind of has taken the NBA over by storm.
Anthony Davis.
No. Oh, well. Just said him. Much more recent. Much more recent. As in rookie of the year candidate.
Oh, don't tell me who I think it is.
I don't know.
Transcendent. New Orleans Pelicans. Zion Williamson.
Won't have knees in 5 years.
2019 Duke.
That would make sense.
So there you go. That's a little bit. This is a really interesting article. Kind of going through here and looking at some of the SEC players especially, I think, are really interesting. But, man, shout out to you, Grant Williams, making the list, coming in at number 45, which essentially means, hey, 45th best season in college basketball over the last 10 to 15 years or so.
Did you say Brandon Clark was 14?
Yes.
I feel like that's a huge discrepancy in the ranking between he and Grant. And I feel like their seasons were very similar in terms of the impact they had on the 2019 season.
Yeah, I can totally see what you're saying there. I wonder if maybe Tennessee was docked for
the talent, maybe? The other talent around him?
I mean, for postseason, but even then, like, did a little bit better that second year. I don't know. It is interesting kind of just looking at these rankings. But, hey, got to catch a quick break here. Last chance to call into the show today, 865-546-8200, in case you would like to do so. We'll catch a quick break right here, see what we can get into on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. All right, here we go. Back here on The Blitz, 11:32 a.m. Rick, Logan, and Brandon hanging out with you as we're making our way through hour number two of the show today. Certainly a little bit of maybe a slower news day in the sports world today, but, you know, we can always find things to talk about. Logan, you had just mentioned a second ago, baseball reports to, tomorrow
summer training.
Is July
1st. Yeah, they're unofficially calling it summer training instead of spring training 2.0, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Sure.
Players start reporting tomorrow. It'll mainly be pitchers and catchers. We're going to start to see over the next week or two with baseball, how well this thing works. I know that a lot of organizations have reported cases within their, not necessarily on the players or coaching staff, but like the Texas Rangers, a team you're well familiar with. They reported several cases within their organization. So they've got those guys, you've got people working at the stadiums, training staff, coaching staff, players. So we're going to see over the next week or two with baseball, we're going to get an idea of how well this works.
Well said. I totally agree. I think it's going to be interesting to find out, you know, kind of what these organizations who are already dealing with it, kind of how they combat it to get things going started. And you look at the organizations that maybe don't have any kind of outbreak to speak of, see how they do in preventing the virus from entering the organization. Now, Brandon, I have a story here, and I cannot believe that it took me this long to get to it, because we got to go on an investigation here.
Okay.
All right. This is an important one. Have you heard about the big Sports Illustrated Ezekiel Elliott conspiracy?
No.
All right. So here's the story. So Zeke Elliott was on his Twitch stream the other night. And, and they can, for anybody out there who doesn't know what Twitch is, you stream your video games to people, right? You're basically just, broadcasting for people. And most of the time they have a face camera, so, you can see the person, or in this case, the athlete, or whatever. All right, Brandon. So in this Twitch stream, towards the end, Zeke said, he was looking at his phone. He said, "Bro, I'm low-key faded." And then he said, "Oh, no, I didn't even end my stream yet." So those are the key words here in this situation. He said, "Bro, I'm low-key faded." So then, a couple hours later, Sports Illustrated ran a online article, a column, with this headline: "Ezekiel Elliott forgets to log off, admits to being high on Twitch. Train of thoughts." So Zeke, none too happy about that. Zeke tweets back. He tweeted out, "Actually, I was referring to the few drinks I had, which I said during the live stream. Doesn't that make this defamation? You guys will be hearing from my lawyers at SI Now." So Zeke threatening legal repercussions over, this headline, saying he was high when he just said he was faded. He said he was low-key faded. What do you think it means?
I don't know. I mean, what if he was?
You know what I think it means? I think it means he might have a drug test on his way soon. Certainly, for starters.
Probably. I mean, but doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of the random drug test?
Yeah, but I mean, hasn't the story always been that, maybe it's random, maybe it's not. People have talked about that for so long,
Either way, there's ways around it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, who was it, Josh Gordon, that got just test after test after test? I think when you get to that point, it's like,
who was another one? Like a Randy Gregory. Like, there's been a couple of them throughout the years.
Yeah. I mean, I just think at that point, I think in some cases they see it coming. In other cases, there's ways around it. So if you have that many, yeah, there's a problem.
So he's suing them for defamation?
Seems like it. It's what he's claiming on Twitter. The author of the article, so basically Sports Illustrated declined to comment on Elliott's tweets. They did say that a previous version of the story included a headline with the incorrect interpretation of Elliott's meaning of faded. We apologize and regret the error. And then the author of the article came out and said, the article itself says, Trana did not expressly write that Elliott admitted to being under the influence of marijuana. He wrote, quote, after wearing a mask and social distancing, the most important thing in life to remember is to always make sure you are logged off before you start riffing. Look at this author. The two most important things in life right now are wearing a mask / social distancing and logging off after your streams.
I feel like there are other things that might be a little bit more important, but
I feel like you can make a decent case. I would certainly listen to it.
Well, hopefully Zeke learned his lesson.
Yeah, it will be kind of wild, you know, if something something does come out from this, but it doesn't seem like it will. But it was kind of interesting. Zeke's been in the news plenty of times in the last few weeks. I mean, with the coronavirus, how he tweeted out the HIPAA thing. Remember, he was mad about HIPAA because Ian Rappaport had said that he had the coronavirus. Now he has Sports Illustrated, you know, misinterpreting his low-key faded comments.
Did he have coronavirus?
I have no idea. I mean, I got to think, yeah. That's what was reported.
Didn't he also
I guess that's maybe why he's, you know, playing Twitch at home. But then again, he's probably already been doing that. All the athletes do that now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my God. I have something I wanted to bring up to you today. Might have to hold this off till tomorrow because we're kind of running out of time. Have you heard of this Cameo thing?
Cameo?
Yeah.
Like when actors make an appearance in a movie?
Yes, but like it's an app.
No, I've not heard of the app.
So there's an app called, or there's a program, a website, a whatever. It's called Cameo, right? And basically, you got to go look this up. Basically, celebrities you can pay like $100, $150, and a celebrity will send you like a video. I think you can even ask it to say, you know, ask the person to like say certain things.
Why would I want to do that?
Well,
I don't need them.
For instance, what if Admiral Schofield was on Cameo, right? Say $100. You can just say whatever you want. Say we had him record an entire intro for the radio show. Like I think that in a lot of senses,
yeah,
that's what people do. Or I guess in some cases you might get a happy birthday wish. But I find this whole thing very interesting. Like that people will pay so much money to get these celebrities to give them a message. And if you go on the website, like, and that's what I'm saying, like, we should dive into this tomorrow because there are so many, like, legitimate A-tier celebrities who are on this Cameo thing. You can find almost anybody.
Cameo.com? Is that what it is?
I imagine so. Yeah, Cameo.com.
Hmm.
So, like, I'll just go to musicians.
Oh, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg.
Who else? Who do we have here? Wow, there's a ton.
Literally anyone. Charlie Sheen? You can pay $350 to get Charlie Sheen.
Okay, so that one's way more.
It's Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You can get Bret the Hitman Hart for only $150. What if we get Bret Hart to record us a brand new Blitz intro?
We can get Rick Harrison for $82. Remember Who? Him from Pawn Stars?
Oh, from Pawn Stars? Is he going to record with Chum Lee?
I hope so.
You can get Ray Lewis for $300. Mariano.
If Rick Harrison is 82, Chumley's got to be like $50. We could do Chumley. We could Chumley.
What if we had a, yeah. Like, we could have great audio. Mariano Rivera, $500.
Wow.
Brenner, what do you think? Maybe we put our names on this thing. You think anybody's going to pay money to have us record a message for him?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No.
There is a Tom Cruise impersonator called Not Tom Cruise that you can book for $70.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know, but apparently people are doing it.
He better Brett sound Favre. Just like Tom Cruise. You can get Mick Foley for $75.
Mick Foley for $75. I just saw that too. Now that's a good one. Now that's one I might be able to be talked into. So anyways, so there's a ton of people. I mean, we've already been listing off all these names. I think this whole thing is wildly interesting. This whole concept of Cameo.
You can get Omarosa from The Apprentice for $50. Really, $49. It's not bad.
You get Charlemagne the God for $150.
I don't know who that is.
He was. Yeah, yes, you do. He was. Remember the last episode of Dave, the radio show that he went on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That he snapped on at the end.
Yeah.
That's him.
Ah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Would there be any situation where you would ever pay for a cameo?
I don't know. I mean, what am I using it for?
Well, that's kind of my question. Is there a – do you take off some of the shine to it because it's just like this paid service, right? Or do you basically just say like, you know what? Hey, I got an opportunity here to add in, Mick Foley and Rick Harrison into this audio clip. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I mean, some people would be like, that's kind of lame. You know, you just paid some faceless website, $300, which don't ever spend $300 on this thing, but, maybe $100.
Yeah, riffraff.
Foley's 75.
Yeah, riffraff for 85.
Can you really?
Riffraff. You like riffraff?
Couldn't tell you anything about him but his name. Get what? Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters. How about that?
I don't know. Maybe under the right circumstances.
Hey, you can get J.J. French, Brandon. I know you're a big Twisted Sister fan. I know you're a gigantic Twisted Sister fan. You can get the guitarist, J.J. French, from Twisted Sister.
The only
one of your idols, one of your icons in life.
You're putting fake news out there. The only person I even know from Twisted Sister is Dee Snider. Who'd you say is what was his name?
J.J. French.
That's a made-up name. You can get Randy Jackson for $250.
I can't stop going through these names at this point.
I feel like if we were going to get anyone from the intro, I feel like we had to get Randy Jackson. It's going to be a no for me, dog.
Oh, my God. What if O.J. Simpson's on here?
Maybe. Can you search?
Would you?
He's got to be.
There's a massive search bar at the top. There's a Bachelor contestant, maybe Pilot Pete for the ladies of the Blitz out there. If we ever Bachelor season 2 comes back, we need to have a Pilot Pete cameo.
I don't think OJ is on there.
That would make sense. I'm sure he'd get a lot of strange requests.
The best value I've seen so far is Ozzie Guillen for $50.
What about Gary Busey for $350?
That's too Whoa. Much. That is too Whoa. Much for Gary Busey. That is way too much for Gary Busey.
Final answer. Final recommendation for the Blitz's cameo. It all goes full circle, Brandon.
Doc Gooden, $70. I'm going there.
Hey, my Brandon, Mets.
Brandon, how do we end the show typically each day? Well, what if we started the show right back where we end it? Bob, oh yeah, yeah, that's where I'm going. Bob Saget for $249. That's my pick. I'll be collecting $50 from each of you shortly. And $50, maybe $75 from each of you shortly, including Chance. Hopefully you're listening.
We're Bob not Saget, getting Bob Saget.
Next on the Blitz. Talk Sports. They are on the other side of the door right now, about to get ready for their show. It's going to come up next and be tremendous. So that's coming up at noon. But I told you a little while ago, I told you about half an hour ago or so, that had a little bit of news coming for you during this segment. And it is this. The Blitz's, I should say, the Blitz's greatest TV show of all time, but not the super old stuff. That's the extended title, Brandon. I threw that part in, but not the super old stuff. I feel like that is, you know, let that be known to the crowd. The Blitz's greatest TV of all time bracket has been finalized. It is finished. It is finito. It's done. And it is pretty darn good, if I do say so myself.
I've seen it.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
Good.
I have no problems with it.
Well, I mean, everyone's going to have a couple of problems with it, right? But you know, it's difficult, and you got to do your best to seed all these legendary TV shows. I mean, we're not swimming with the life jacket on here. We're diving straight into the deep end. We went 64 teams, not 16, not 32. We went 64 entries. So there's a lot of great TV on the bracket. The bracket will be released at a surprise time tomorrow at 11 a.m. So be on the lookout.
A surprise time at 11 a.m. Gotcha.
I think it's really good. I think it's really good. We'll see what people think of it. I'm excited for people to see it. So be on the lookout for that. We're gonna be that's gonna be coming up at some point, either this week or next week. We'll be going over that that bracket and trying to answer that question. What is the greatest TV show of all time? I don't know. We'll find it out. Guys, besides that though, let's close the show like we always do, with a little bit of if you haven't heard. Who would like to start us off?
I've got one.
All righty.
So if you haven't heard, and maybe you remember, maybe you don't, but I remember this story back in 2012, the story of Manti Te'o and his girlfriend, Lene Kakua.
Oh, how could we forget?
Well, that's about to be revisited. ESPN, their next backstory documentary, is going to be about that story.
Really?
Yeah, the catfishing saga of Lene Kakua.
Oh my God, the catfishing saga. Is that really the name for it?
Yeah. Oh, this is according to classic. Don Van Natta. He's with ESPN. He's a senior writer. I think he's with Outside Lines, maybe.
Huh.
An all new docuseries. And they're gonna have a podcast to go along with.
That's gonna be wild. I cannot wait to really kind of learn a little bit more about that situation. And I wonder if that really does kind of just come down to, you know, hey, a kid got a little over his head, you know, and lied and kind of just, you know, wrote out the lie, you know, because he thought he'd kind of just get swept under the rug eventually and then got caught up in a lie. I wonder what the real story is behind that. I think, you know, at least for me, I just kind of know the facts.
It'll be airing this fall, titled Manti Te'o, Too Good to Check.
All right.
Go
ahead.
If you haven't heard, Rick, India has banned 59 Chinese apps.
Oh, yes.
Including TikTok.
Yeah.
The video app is one of 59 apps banned by the Indian government as relationships between India and China continue to deteriorate. The Chinese embassy has issued a statement.
So TikTok, gone.
TikTok is banned in India.
Oh, that is unfortunate news for the social media influencers of the world.
And
your videos are going to that whole gigantic population.
Yes, second in the world.
Right under the rug.
Over 1 billion people.
Billion! For the billions. Man, billion. Wow. Did you recognize any of the other names of the apps on the list? Or was it just TikTok?
It didn't really give me a list. If I could find a list, maybe I... Oh, wait, here they are. I found them. Oh, that was easy. Real quickly, I don't recognize any of the others.
All right. Well,
TikTok is number one. Share it. Oh, wait. Clash of Kings. Banned.
Oh, really? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. No more Clash of Kings.
Looks like the rest of them are ones sure. You've never heard of.
Well, gentlemen, we're about done for today. So I'll tell you what I'm going to go do. I'm going to about wrap up this outro right here, and then I'm going to go start working on, Brandon, our hit movie of summer 2022 coming to a theater near you, Taxi Squad. Be there in theaters to see it. We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m.